specialized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking about what I feel is a very, very important subject and issue today. And that is, do we have freedom of speech or not? Is the freedom of speech limited to certain venues, certain locations, certain times? Does the freedom of speech apply only to the elite and not for the average Joe on the street? Is the freedom of speech to be embraced today as being real? Or have we surrendered our freedom of speech and religious liberties without knowing it? There's the mindset with the woke, progressive, cancel culture that if you do not say what they want said, if you do not do what they say we need to do, goes back to what is called Pravda News in Russia, where the Russian government in the time past and even today will make the decision on whether you can say some things or not. And I think we've reached that point and pinnacle in society today where the mindset is that the woke culture, the cancel culture, the progressive culture, the loose likes, lost liberals on the left, that somehow, some way feel that they need to squelch and silence any conservative, any patriotic, any Christian free speech. And I'm in total disagreement with that. So I'm taking the stand today, and as I've said before, and let me repeat again at the risk of redundancy, I'm not embracing the Roman Catholic religious dogma. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic theology. I'm not embracing the theological persuasions that's taught and carried forth in the Roman Catholic religion. I'm talking about the freedom of speech that this young football player has the right in that commencement address. I'm looking at an article. I'll read a few words in this, and then we'll have our next guest on. Many of you are sitting here, he's speaking to the audience, the graduating audience. He says, many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and thinking about all the promotions and titles that you're going to get in your career, he said. But I would venture to guess that the major majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children that you will bring into the world. He went on to express appreciation for his wife, Isabel, saying, it cannot be overstated that all my success is made possible because the girl I met in band class back in middle school and would convert to the faith, he's talking about Roman Catholicism now, become my wife and embrace one of the most important titles of all, and that is homemaker. So he's being degraded, denigrated, dissed, and attempt to destroy him because now the media is saying that he's relegating women to simply make babies and keep the home and be a wife and no career. I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture and then we'll introduce our next caller. In Titus, the second chapter, verse 1 and following, the Apostle Paul speaking, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, hear me, that the aged men be sober, grave, and temperate, sound in faith, and charity in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they would behave as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I could go to several passages in Scripture. I could go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22 and following. It talks about wives being submissive unto your own husbands. But yet there's a mindset today in the woke, progressive, cancel culture that if you talk about marriage and raising children, that somehow, some way, you're saying then that people do not have a choice, that they must do that. That's not what this young man was saying at all. Howbeit, listen carefully. I'll tuck this in. We'll get back to it later. He was simply speaking based on the seven major sacraments that's found in Roman Catholicism. Seven sacraments that are required for a good Catholic to be able to know that he's going to heaven. It's talking about works relationship, works religion, not talking about salvation by faith through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of confirmation, the sacrament of Holy Communion, the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of holy orders, the sacrament of anointing of the sick, and those that are what they call unction, that is, they're about to die, and so they anoint them to make sure they're going to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get into that later if we have time on this broadcast. That's what he was referring to, embracing his theology, his dogma in the Roman Catholic Church. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over with your question or comment, please.
You know, it's very interesting with this Harrison Butker speech. I suppose I can't help but to look at it from the perspective of what if it had been a totally different personality? What if it had been a Muslim on that stage? What if it had been a cross-dressing Satanist on that stage? What if it had been, you know, any other religious order, if you will, you know, broadly speaking, you know, religion redefined in this culture? The NFL representatives would be deaf mutes today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You would have CNN and MSNBC commentators saying that person has a right to say what he wants to say. And the First Amendment covers religious liberty first. We have, you know, that religious liberty and that speech, that goes hand in hand. Of course, now we've got a press that's no longer, you know, worth anything. The reality is they have a problem because you have some Christian concepts that are being delivered on a national stage. That is what so offends them. The fact that gender ideology, the way the world defines it today, is completely perverse, and that the plan, the system, the institution of marriage and family that God established in the Scripture, that somehow or another that's to be shunned. Somehow or another, if your name is Colin Kaepernick and you take a knee, it's praised. If your name is Tim Tebow and you take a knee, you're ostracized. There's a problem when anything that touches Christendom, Christianity, Christian principles, that is to be mocked at, ridiculed, laughed, and spurned by the culture. And, of course, they line up to do it. They line up to do it. Granted, there were plenty of elements of just, you know, again, the Roman Catholicism and so many concepts and teachings there with which I disagree. But there was so much good when you're praising family, praising womanhood, praising mm-hmm. motherhood. These are laudable. These are awesome. These are blessings from God. And that's where they had their greatest disdain for Harrison and his speech. We as believers ought to stand up, and I'm proud of Harrison, even though we disagree on some points. I'm proud of him standing up, taking the stage, taking the opportunity to share what he believes. It's courage. He yeah. had a backbone, and I'll tell you what, this culture, at least the leftist element of this culture, hates folks of good morals, good values, that have a backbone and a willingness to use the platform that they're given to speak, and to speak with, you know, a level of compelling speech and ardent speech that would cause individuals to actually listen to. Of course, they'll do their best to strike it down. They'll do their best to undermine. They'll do their best to belittle, because that's what they do.
Greg, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons. He resides up in the southern tip of heaven. I believe you've gotten some rain up there in the past few days, haven't you, Greg?
Listen, this is beautiful country right now. We've got this hit and miss blue and puffy clouded sky that I wouldn't trade for any other place on earth today.
Greg, I'm looking at a headline that says Buckner's commencement speech echoes, listen to what they've done now in the Marxist media, echoes MacArthur and other male supremacists. With Pride Month, this article reads, with Pride Month looming on the horizon and women graduating from college, Kansas City Chiefs kicker decided to attack as dangerous gender ideologies when he gave the commencement address at Benedictine College. Butker, an outspoken conservative Catholic, believes the gender ideologies he is concerned about go beyond simply being dangerous. He thinks they're caused by demons, and therefore he's targeting women. And this article, massive article, Greg, goes on to compare what they call pervasiveness of disorder. He said, this article reads, many of the news stories covering Buckner's speech have interpreted it as an attack on President Joe Biden, an attack on LGBTQ people, and most of all, an attack on women. And it goes into great detail of each of those. But, Greg, one of the things that I found, and I have taken this speech apart, I've listened to it two times completely, and about halfway through the third time, and I've looked at the written speech, and I've outlined it with about 10 different points that he covered. First of all, Greg, one of the major things, he was an advocate for putting God first, for putting God first. In fact, part of his speech, he was challenging the graduating audience, when you go out and you get a job, don't look for the city or place or community where there's the best offer for a job, but look for a place where you've got your local church that you can attend. I commend him for that, not necessarily for his theology, but I wish that every Christian would take that stand, that you would look for a place where you can be involved in your local New Testament church, be involved in the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God. He spoke against the sin of abortion. I found very, very few in his position where they, I would put him in the elitist role, because he makes pretty good money, I think, as a National Football League player. He spoke against the sin of abortion. He's accused of putting women, attacking women, when in fact he spoke of God's ideal for women. God's ideal is for the woman to submit herself to her own husband. God's ideal is for the older women to teach the younger women. God's ideal is for marriage and to produce children that in turn would submit and surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's God's ideal. But I understand, Greg, I want our listeners to understand that part of the things that's found in Roman Catholicism today, and it has been for centuries, part of the seven sacraments, one of those is marriage. In the sacrament of marriage, the mindset is that you marry, you produce children, because that's part and parcel of your responsibility in working your way to heaven. And I emphasize that in that fashion because it is unbiblical, but yet that is his position. Greg, what are your thoughts further that our listeners need to understand about his speech, your commendation of it, and what are your thoughts about how we should respond to it as conservative Christians, as patriots and conservatives?
All right. Well, and tagging on your last comment dealing with those sacraments, I mean, he gets wrong, and you don't find in the Bible this notion of attainment of salvation by anything you've earned or achieved or done through works or, you know, adherence to, you know, X, Y, and Z, whether it's marriage or whatever. That's a work. Salvation is not what you find in Scripture. So I understand that. And then that aside, that is not what they're hammering him for. Understand, you know, if he were, you know, beating his wife or fighting his dogs, you know, that they would have less anxiety. But he has stepped out and he has slaughtered some of their sacred cows. Understand? It's a matter of whose ox is being gored. It used to be the saying, and that the ox being gored, he started out slamming the abuses of these bureaucrats, our quote unquote leaders, during Wu flu, during COVID. They're overstepped. And for, you know, a couple of years there, we saw a government that went wild with their authoritarian, totalitarian dictates left and right. We had a culture that just kowtowed left and right. We had a church that kowtowed left and right and just gave over all this ground as if these, you know, by the way, we have a government of, by, and for the people. Did it seem that way during COVID? Or did it seem like we had a whole bunch of dictators that were ordering your life, shutting down the economy? And, of course, the ordering of your life had very little to do with science. I mean, I went looking for the science. I couldn't find any. I went looking after the money, and I found the science. We realized that so many influences were in place that were, you know, bad policies, poor leadership, and he called that out. And then he called abortion an evil. You know, when you're hitting those sacred cows, by the way, they intend to make the 2024 election all about abortion, and they will try to make it out to be a health care argument. I have news for you ladies out there. If you want to find some place to murder your child, you'll find some place out there to murder your child. But it doesn't change, you know, the fact that it's legal or illegal doesn't make it more or less right or wrong. It's wrong that child is a separate individual from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death at old age or at any stage in between where it's natural. That's life, and it's worth preserving, it's worth defending, it's worth speaking for, it's worth speaking out for, it's worth advocating for. This man advocated for life. He should not be demonized for that. A culture that demonizes an advocate for life, what have they embraced? You've embraced the alternative. You've embraced death. And sadly, somehow or another, we have a culture that's been steeped in that notion of embracing death and calling it a right. That's a problem.
You know, I believe that is correct, Greg, that the two major elements there would be, I think, top of the list, because he advocates for women to be submissive to their husband and to have a family, to grow a family. And secondly, where he openly condemns homosexuality, openly condemns the sin of abortion, openly condemns the leadership that's been expressed to Joe Biden. In fact, he talked about Pride Month as calling it sin. He advocated for godly morality. I think if you could capsulize all that he said, was that in the capsulization that I would make, he was advocating for a morality, for ethics, for values, for cultural norms to go back to what God ordained it to be like. And as a result of that, it flies in the face of what I call the loose likes, lost liberals. It flies in the face of those that are advocating, as you said, for the culture of death. It is sad to see. But one of the things that I find so fascinating, he openly challenged Joe Biden's push for transgenderism, abortion, and euthanasia. One of the articles I read, he touched on that. And it wasn't just a matter of a lack of leadership, but he touched on the fact that Joe Biden is pushing for transgenderism, abortion, and euthanasia. So in toto, he was going against the norm of our society today. What are your thoughts on that?
I was so thankful that he lauded women, praised them, and their role. He identified the most important title of all, homemaker. Matter of fact, he kind of broke down in tears at that moment. Yes. He realized as a man, of course, this society just with the leftism that is so prevalent, it absolutely has hatred for the notion of there actually being a difference between men and women, and there actually being genuine gender roles. And it's not that women are less than men. As a matter of fact, it's not that women can't do what men can do. It's that women can do all the things that men can't do, like having babies. And the reality is to praise that, to lift that up, is something that that leftism doesn't like. He praised charity. We have this false sense of charity in the world today. Charity is a personal thing, a personal love, and a personal gift, and they've turned charity into a social program, you know. And we just dole out money left and right. We're going to call that charity. And, you know, we want to take more of your money, tax you more so we can give more money. That's not charity. Matter of fact, biblically, charity is individual. And there's a rule for charity for the believer. And it's, you know, I think it's in Proverbs 3:27, not sure. But it says, withhold not good from any man to whom good is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. So, you know, two caveats there. You know, good has to be due them, which requires discernment. Government has zero discernment. Second off, it has to be in the power of your hand to do it. That means it's personal. You don't get to take the money from somebody else. It needs to come out of your pocket. So, you know, he praised charity, and that's something that the leftist culture, you know, can't endorse, cannot praise. He elevated womanhood, elevated motherhood. He challenged folks to take a public stand for truth. That is just the opposite of what leftism wants. They would like to shut down the truth. Matter of fact, that's why college campus after college campus, when a conservative approaches the campus to speak on invitation of one of the clubs or groups, many times they will shut down the school. There will be a riot. Things will be broken. Things will be burned. Many times they will cancel the event for fear of safety concerns. How do you like that? Now, when was the last time a leftist came on campus, a communist came on campus, a Satanist came on campus, a cross-dresser came on campus, and they shut the campus down and would not let them speak? Would somebody please call in and tell me the last time that happened? Why is it only conservatives and Christians that have their speech trampled upon and shut down on college campuses all over the United States? That's a problem. But for him to challenge folks to take a public stand for truth was a great thing. And of course, he lauded Christ-centered existence. Mm-hmm, again, mm-hmm. He and I, we disagree on a lot of theological points. He hit the nail firmly on the head with that statement in praising a Christ-centered existence. What's wrong with that, folks?
As you call it, he kicked the ball out of the park, didn't he?
He did, absolutely. It was a phenomenal speech in so many regards.
Yes, Greg, one of the things he said, and I'm reading a quote, he said, bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues as well as a growing support for the degenerate cultural values in media. He further said, and I quote, our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross at an abortion clinic. An abortion ceremony. He is calling it out like it is. And as I think about this, as we discuss this, I am saddened beyond words that you don't find this, generally speaking, coming from pulpits. You don't find this generally coming from pastors, preachers, and Christians in general. There seems to be a lack of moral courage, a lack of moral tenacity, a lack of a standard that causes one to stand up with a conviction and a commitment to say it like it is, whether the culture likes it or not. That's where I'm really bothered with it. I think it's time Christians, I'm talking about Bible-believing, God-honoring Christians, stand for truth and stand for these elements of morals and ethics and values in our great nation before it's eternally, everlastingly too late. It is a sad factor. The NFL player even advocated for people to find a home and to live near the church where they could serve. I touched on that earlier. I find in our society today that people look for the a home where there's a great job opportunity. They look for a home in a location where it has a good school. Nothing wrong with that. Look for a home where it has all of the amenities, etc., etc. And this young man advocated, when you go into a city to find a home, find one that's close to your church where you can be involved. And I don't know of any better admonition for the Christian. And though, again, as you've said, and I reiterate a number of times, that I am not embracing the dogma of Roman Catholicism because it is a work salvation and not a faith salvation, or salvation by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ's shed blood. Greg, I'm saddened by what we're seeing, and it's the loose likes lost liberals. But he's criticized, I noticed, and I don't know your thoughts on it, if you saw that or heard that part. He was openly critical of the Catholic priests and the bishops for misleading the flock, as he called it. Misleading the flock. And I'm openly concerned when we see that taking place from Christian pulpits today across America, where you have people like Andy Stanley that say you can just jettison the Old Testament, says that the Ten Commandments are not relevant today, where you have the Osteenites that everything is based on a smile and based on just doing good works and good deeds, and God's going to promise, God promises you to give you health, wealth, fame, and fortune. I am opposed to those, and yet this young man takes that stand publicly on that. And so when we look at it and we critique it, we analyze it, it goes back to a fundamental, Greg, and that fundamental is, do we have religious liberties and freedom of speech in America, or don't we? What is the answer? Where do you see us going as a nation lest this is changed? How does his speech and what we need to gain from it, how should it affect our lives? We got about a minute and a half, Greg, on the broadcast. I want you to wrap it up with your thoughts, your final summation, challenge our listeners, and then we'll see what God does with our efforts to bring it full circle with what we need to do today.
His speech ought to be a challenge to every believer. You know, grow a backbone. Use the God-given rights, the liberties that were fought for in prior generations, those the first of rights articulated in our Bill of Rights is that right to freedom of religion, the second being our right to freedom of speech. By the way, you don't lose that right because you're a believer. You don't lose that right because you're a preacher. You don't lose that right because you're an NFL player. That right, you know, must be exercised or it will be lost. Amazingly, the leftist culture would have praised individuals that commit all manner of evil and, you know, misdeeds. I mean, an NFL coach today, if he gets a call from a player and the player says, "I'm calling you from my cell phone," the coach instinctively knows he's not talking about a cell phone. He's talking about a phone in the man's cell. Understand, things have gone sideways in this culture because Christians have failed to stand up and speak up, to speak the truth in love. That's what the scripture says to do, to speak the truth in love. By the way, again, I disagree with, you know, many of the theological positions of this young man, but his articulate speech in love, speaking the truth on so many subjects, again, we disagree on some areas, but he spoke the truth on so many subjects in love. Did he sound hateful, folks? No. He was challenging. He was encouraging. And for every believer, you need to know this. We have a primary charge that we should seek first the kingdom. That Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That ought to be our focus. That ought to be our Amen. Position. That ought to be our drive. And that ought to be our rallying cry today.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much. Our time is up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air. Once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1980.